This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number three here on the show. Tiki and Tierney inside the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage around the country. It's Wednesday, middle of the week. Start a transition to the new week in the NFL. We'll do that, obviously, in earnest tomorrow. But we'll start it today. We'll start it next segment. We'll start it now. But Phil Simms will join us coming up in a few minutes here. Phil, the NFL on CBS analyst. And he's awesome. He's been with us now, what, four or five times this year. He's great. He's just opinionated. He's funny. So we've got Phil coming up next. Monday, we got Dabo Swinney from Clemson. You know, and I was running through a bunch of the games coming up this weekend around the NFL. And there's a lot of games that, let's face it, are not very appealing. Whether there's nothing at stake or one team has something at stake, the other team is a bottom feeder. There's very, and you get this. I mean, this, I don't know that this is completely rare or unique to this season. You get this at various points of every season. Sometimes the schedule aligns itself where you get a lot of Bears, Giants, yep, and some other teams that don't really matter at this point. But there's a couple of games that certainly do matter, one of which, and really given the two participants, you might be able to say the most interesting game and the most eyeballs that it will attract, the Patriots and the Cowboys.
Yes.
Dallas almost a seven-point dog, and I want to know why.
Yeah, because
I want to know why Dallas is a seven-point dog. Dog.
I think the biggest reason is that the Pats are at home, so that's one.
Okay.
Don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it hasn't been warm up here
okay.
as of late.
All right, I'll check
35
it out for you.
Degrees or so.
It'll be in the 40s
this
not
morning.
Be that bad.
It gets cooler as it gets warmer as the day goes on.
All right.
Then it gets cold again. But I think the biggest reason is because of how well, except for the game against the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots defense has played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of the unique abilities.
It's going to rain.
Oh, so
but they didn't know that when they put the odds out.
Of course. But the unique abilities of Lamar Jackson,
uh-huh,
the Patriots were, I mean, they were lost a little bit. But every other team, they've actually done a really good job at preventing scoring and getting off the field and giving their offense opportunities. And Dallas, I think, still has a lot to prove despite the growth of Dak Prescott. It's weird because for so much of Dak's existence with the Dallas Cowboys, it's been about the run game. It's been hand the ball off to Zeke Elliott. He's going to get 150 yards. He's going to keep you regular. He could bust a couple here and there. He's going to be the reason why you're going to win. Dak will be your game manager. As of late, they haven't been able to run the ball. Kellen Moore even talked about this. Jason Garrett talked about this. You know, what's going on with their run game? I think it's fairly obvious because football's not a complicated sport. And put extra guys in the box and get your safeties peeking whenever they see the handoff, scream down to the line of scrimmage and keep Zeke under control and then force Dak to beat you with his arm. Problem is, this is exactly what Dak's doing,
mm-hmm,
throwing 400 yards at least three times this year, if not more, and on pace for 5,300 yards, BT,
oh, yeah,
on the season. I mean, so Dak has evolved. I don't know if everybody is accepting that evolution.
Yeah, a little slow to acknowledge that he's evolved.
Right.
He's,
yeah,
been flinging it pretty well
That's
this
right.
year. I'm with you. Three times over 400. The other time it was a couple of yards short. It was like 397.
Yeah.
So he goes for 444 against Detroit. Three touchdowns, no picks. Obviously, that was the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Tight loss against the Vikings. He goes for 397, three touchdowns, a pick. Let's see. He goes for, obviously, week one against the Giants, 405, four touchdowns, no picks. He goes for 463, two touchdowns and a couple of picks. That was an ugly loss against Green Bay. Really, it was two different games. The first half, all Green Bay,
yep,
if you recall, and I know you do. The second half was pretty much all Dallas, a late rally, finally thwarted by the Packers, hanging on to win. Let me ask you a question, and you don't even have to answer because I know the answer. if Bill Belichick is coaching the Dallas Cowboys with this roster, mm-hmm. and Bill Belichick is coaching against Bill Belichick this weekend,
yep.
is he a seven-point dog?
No.
The answer is no.
No.
If Sean Payton is coaching this Dallas Cowboys roster, and he's going to Foxborough to go against Belichick this weekend, is he a seven-point dog with this roster? The answer is no.
Probably not.
If John Harbaugh is coaching this Dallas Cowboys roster, and he's going into Foxborough to go on against Bill Belichick's team, is he a seven-point dog? The answer is no.
Well, here's the problem.
Andy Reid's coaching the Dallas Cowboys this weekend, and he's going into Foxborough with this Dallas Cowboy roster.
Yeah,
is
but is
he a
seven-point
dog? The answer is no. What I'm getting at
is that fair, though? Because three of the last 4 years, the Cowboys have won a division.
That division stinks.
Of course,
isn't
but still.
This a referendum on Jason Garrett?
Isn't
this like a microcosm? Can't you just take this one game and prop it up and say, okay, we'll finally get a good answer?
If you want a simple solution to Jason Garrett, then yes, you do that. But I think it's more complicated.
Why
than that.
Though? Nothing's complicated about Dak. He's a star.
Okay, but
he's been throwing it.
At the end of the day, though, it's about guys executing and making plays at crunch time. And Jason Garrett's not even calling the plays. It's not like he's one of those head coaches that can't give up the play calling mm-hmm. duties like some of these other guys that we've seen, and they're starting to get some heat because of it. Matt Nagy being the most prominent one right now with the whole Mitchell Trubisky thing in Chicago. But Jason Garrett's not that. Jason Garrett is a developer of a relationship. I think he's been good for
what
Dak.
What does that mean?
It's keeping him aware of what his role is, right? Think about how early on, if you're a young quarterback and you come into the league, you have some success because he's won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Dak, whatever you think about him, he's won a.
Talk about Dak?
Yeah,
we like Dak.
That's what I mean. But
no,
he's won a lot of games.
Yes, he has.
And that narrative that I just was talking about was the one that existed. Now, if you're a head coach and if you're Dak Prescott and you're winning 3 of 4, right, NFC East championships, in your mind you're saying, "Dude, I'm turning to be the man." And so, mm-hmm. containing that expectation is on the head coach. And I think Jason Garrett has done a good job in that regard. Now, Dak, with Kellen Moore now as the offensive coordinator, has taken that next step. And as much as we want to push it on the Dak and on the Kellen Moore's play calling and all of this stuff, you still do have to give credit to Jason Garrett. And so the evolution, we talk about the negative with Jason Garrett, but we're not always talking about the positive things.
Because he always leaves us wanting more. Because he hasn't accomplished enough to not accentuate the negatives.
Well, and that's
come because he hasn't won enough.
Well,
it's fair.
No, I think he's won enough. He hasn't won in the postseason.
Well, that's
enough.
What I mean.
And so at the end of
the day,
you get judged as a head coach by what you do in the postseason.
Like quarterbacks.
And if you're a Jerry Jones employed head coach, that's all he cares about at this point. Jerry Jones is building this team.
That's right.
To win a Super Bowl. And I mean, he talks about it every year. Like some teams, like they believe it and it's mm-hmm. in the back of their mind. They're like, yeah, we're going to win a Super Bowl. They're not screaming it from the mountaintops, right?
Actually, nobody does.
Nobody does.
You really think about
Jerry
it.
Jerry Jones does.
Yeah, he does.
And so there's no ambiguity about what success and failure is with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's why we sit here with week 12. What is this, 9 years into Jason's tenure? Maybe more.
He came in, I think it's 8.5.
Yeah, so 8.5 years into his tenure. And he's sitting as a lame duck. He doesn't have a contract next year.
I know.
And so a lot of that is because games – to your point, and you're right about this, BT, games like this and the subsequent ones as they close out this season and get into the postseason are referendums on Jason Garrett.
Yes.
Whether that's fair or not, because of,
it is fair.
Well, relative to every other coach in the National Football League, it's not. But relative to the Cowboys and their expectation, it absolutely is.
Listen, I even left Pete Carroll off the list when I was running through coaches. If this guy rolled in 7-point dog, would he be 7-point dogs with this roster? Pete Carroll would not be. Coughlin with the Giants would not be. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy at his apex with the Green Bay Packers would not be. It wouldn't be. If the 49ers, now we're just guessing.
Yeah.
Let's say the 49ers rolled into New England and they were fully healthy, which they're actually not right now, would they be 7-point dogs? I don't know. Maybe they would be. But the point is this. I watch, as you did as well, you watch that entire game against the Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that their offensive line, Dallas, at this point is a little more name-heavy than accomplishment. Like, then their current talent
does
not necessarily match their resumes. There's a little attrition. There's a little erosion. Not a lot. They're still an asset, but they're not dominant.
Yeah.
But they're still good.
Yes.
You got one of the best running backs in football. You have a terrific quarterback. You've got playmaking wide receivers.
Yep.
You got linebackers that can move. All the Pats are going to do are they're going to throw dink and dunks. You know what's coming.
Uh-huh.
They needed a touchdown from Julian Edelman. They needed a former quarterback in college wide receiver to throw a touchdown pass to beat an Eagles team that's been maddeningly inconsistent all year. Why the hell shouldn't Dallas win this game?
Hmm.
Why shouldn't they win?
Because they're on the road and
so
people
what?
Aren't believing what they've seen from Dak Prescott.
No, I don't think it's Dak. I think it's Garrett.
I don't think
it's the belief or non-belief in Dak.
At the end of the day,
it's the coach.
But it comes down to talent to me.
They got a ton of talent.
I know, but talent misdirected doesn't always win. This Cowboys team doesn't feel like a misdirected team. Like sometimes they bog down and their run game hasn't been consistent, and everybody's trying to answer that question. You know, the offensive line doesn't have an answer. Zeke doesn't have an answer. Kellen Moore doesn't have an answer. Jason Garrett doesn't have an answer. It's not all on the head coach. But why are they a big dog? Because I don't think people are buying Dak yet. Yes, I know they've had some good wins this season, but they have a hell
of a... They've beaten a lot of bad teams. No,
yes.
Trust me. They haven't really had many good wins, to be fair.
Yeah.
They dismantled the Browns. That was when Freddie Kitchens decided to take the penalty.
They're a good team.
And, so he didn't burn a timeout.
Look, the good teams that they... Team. The good team... The one good team that they, like, really laid it down on was the Eagles. That was it. They lost to the Saints. They lost to the Packers.
Yeah.
Hell, they even lost to your Jets.
That's right, baby.
Was that after
Nobody
the bye
beats
week?
The Jets.
That wasn't after their bye week. Their bye week was 2 weeks ago.
Jets sent a message that week.
They lost to the Vikings, mm-hmm. right? So they've lost to the good teams that they played, the Saints, the Packers, and the Vikings. They've lost. The good team that they beat is the Eagles. And we have question marks about the Eagles.
We have big questions about the Eagles.
So,
yeah,
like,
we do.
They don't deserve to be closer than, you know, it's actually fallen to 6.5 at this point.
Let's drop down more, point.
But, okay. And again, if you look at this one, shave it off.
that's an odd number, six and a half.
Against the Pats, I don't know if they deserve to be more than that.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, well, fair, but independent of this game,
yeah.
Bigger picture, I can make the strong case that they should have won more games. And it's not about Dak.
Yeah.
And it's not about Zeke. And it's not about the offensive line. It's not about Amari Cooper or Michael mm-hmm. Gallup or Randall Cobb, who caught a touchdown last week and got clocked in the grill in the end zone.
Yeah.
Or Jarwin or, you know, obviously Jason Witten or their linebackers that can run. They have a good team.
They do.
They have a good team. An ascending team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they're supposed to win this game. But damn it, they're supposed to compete.
They are.
I mean, come on.
And I think they will.
I actually think they will too. But if they don't, I mean, because nobody's going to run away with the NFC East when I say if they don't. There's really no immediate repercussion because the Eagles are all over the map right now.
Yeah, they're compromised physically.
But at some point, like, you know, eventually you're going to pay Dak big money, and it's going to be this offseason, unless you tag them, which I don't think they'll do. And the money that you are now dispersing throughout the roster, you lose that benefit when you pay Dak 31 or 32 or 35 or 36, whatever it is. So I think it's time to start winning big. And I don't know, man. I have profound respect for the Pats. You know this, but mm-hmm. the Patriots team that I watched against the Eagles,
they weren't your favorite to win a championship.
No,
not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah,
doesn't mean they won't. Because
and even
they
Tom Brady,
will.
even Tom Brady acknowledged that.
That's right. Even Tom Brady said it.
By the way, I think they do end up tagging Dak.
You think they tag him?
I think they do.
They start playing the Kirk Cousins game?
No, not that. I just think they're not in a position to do it how they want to do it.
And well, what are they waiting for? What if he goes out and he has 400 games next year?
Because as soon as he does this, as soon as he signs his deal,
yeah,
it compromises a bunch of other deals on the other side.
I understand that, but you only kick it down the down the road for a year.
Kick it down the road for a year.
And then, so what would the tag be? 21?
Probably 28, because it's the average of the top five.
So what's the difference between 28 and 34? Wouldn't you rather just take care of your franchise guy? The $6 million, what do you get? A special teamer and a nickel corner? I'm not saying that they couldn't help, but don't you think it would be to avoid acrimony like Kirk Cousins had with the
Redskins?
There
will be no acrimony.
How do you know? I'm sure Dak wants a long-term deal.
I think Dak understands. Dak, he'll never say this. His agent will never say this. But I think he understands the value of him specifically
being the quarterback for Dallas.
Being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
I hear you.
I just get that feeling. I don't know.
Maybe. He fits. He obviously fits there. Phil Sims will join us next. Phil's a star. The NFL on CBS analyst. Two-time Super Bowl champ. Former boxer. You know Phil used to box? You ever see those mitts?
No.
Phil's a big boy.
Yeah, he is.
He used to box. Yeah. He was telling me on Sunday. Then he got lit up, and he said, that's it. I got to stick with football. He got knocked out. Took one right on the chops. Phil Sims coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Ah, music is awesome. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. That's the number here for Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Just a quick note. We just saw this during the break. James Wiseman, future first overall pick out of Memphis, has been suspended by the NCAA. They just levied this. The reports are out, 12 games. He is due eligible to return on January 12th against South Florida. And looking at their schedule, they would have 16 regular season games after that. They're already off to a pretty good start. They're 3-1. They're alone lost to a top 15 Oregon team by 6 or 7 points. So they should be able to navigate this. And it looks like this could work out. This is probably best case scenario for Memphis, considering
and
everything.
It's also
how brazen they were.
It's also the NCAA kind of finally getting it.
I don't
penalize you,
that.
But we're not crushing you.
Yeah, we'll circle back to this before we get out of here. But right now, we got to circle back to our buddy, the great Phil Sims, 2-time Super Bowl champ, the NFL Today with JB, the maestro, Coach Cower, Booms, little Nate Dogg. Did I get everybody? Of course, Phil. Phil Sims, how are you, Phil?
Hey, Brandon, Tiki, I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well. I loved it when y'all came back from commercial, the music played, and you said, oh, I love this music.
Love
of course love you
it.
Love it. They're the ones that pay you.
One of the ones that pay me. You got to get a couple checks.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, I hear you.
Diversify your income. You know, look, we just spent a little bit of time talking about Dak Prescott, but...
What do we need answered?
I'm going to start somewhere else, actually.
Tee him up, Teak.
With Philip Rivers. Now, his interception to touchdown, touchdown to interception ratio, because it's almost even right now, 15-14, is disturbing. And it goes back in the last year. Now, they won two of those last three games, but he threw 6 picks in those last 3 games. When is it time to move on from Philip Rivers if you're the Los Angeles Chargers and trying to reestablish yourself in a new market that's not really loving you yet?
Good point. When it's time? Well, I think we know when it's time. We see it. Philip Rivers, this is going to be interesting to see how it goes the rest of the year, I think. I mean, you know, I was telling somebody earlier, you know, I try to watch everything and this and that, and I'm watching the Minnesota Vikings play the Denver Broncos last week, and there they are playing. And Brandon Allen, who's Brandon Allen? He's from Arkansas. I didn't even think he was that good at Arkansas. It was just, I don't mean it in a bad way. I didn't think he'd ever, you know, be a starter or maybe even a backup in the NFL. There he is running the offense, and I'm just going, man, the offense has a good look to it. And then I figured out why. Because they're doing play-action passes. He's rolling out, protecting the offensive line, giving himself more time, letting the receivers get open. Oh, it's 3rd and 7. They play. Oh, they double-team Sutton because they don't want him to catch the ball. He runs for a first down. Oh, things like that. And as I was watching, long answer, but when I was watching Philip Rivers, there's so many things that are there. He can read it. He can diss. But the arm strength and the lack of mobility, it is a tremendous hindrance right now to that football team. And there's no other way to put it. And
yeah, he's getting older, Phil. It is
right,
what it is,
that's
man.
Right. He never was really mobile, but now, you know, things have changed. Not that we're seeing more running, but, you know, Tom Brady's old, too. but Tom Brady is extremely mobile in the pocket.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's their number one thing. I've always had this problem with the Chargers. It's like, let's run everybody run out for a route, and don't worry about chipping, you know, a guy that's beaten us to death on a pass rush, and they rely on him getting rid of the football quick, all that. And it backfired, on I think, on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. Anthony Lynn said, no, we're – I forgot his exact words.
No, he said Philip Rivers. He said
the fact that how much longer are they going to stay with this?
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to jump on you, Phil. My bad.
Okay.
But he just said that basically Philip Rivers is his quarterback. That's what he said. So, what else is he going to say? You know, you try to protect a Hall of Famer. You know,
well, yeah, maybe a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think he probably will be.
I agree.
Might not be first ballot, but one day he'll get in.
Agreed.
And all that. He, unfortunately for him, the one time they had the team that probably was worthy of going to the Super Bowl, maybe winning, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Philip Rivers has a torn ACL playing the New England Patriots up in New England.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady plays one of his worst games of his playoff career.
Yep.
But they still won.
Well,
so,
aware.
You know, you got to be a little lucky, Tiki. You know this as a player. You got to hit the right time, and to win the Super Bowl, so many things have to go right for you and all that. And unfortunately for Philip Rivers, it hasn't happened. But I just think the talent alone, it's been asked by, what is it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
It's about the 15th time I've answered this question.
Yeah,
somebody,
because he looks so bad. Yeah, he's four interceptions, man.
Not playing well, man.
Yeah, it's not the interceptions. It's the look. It's the lack of the other stuff that we keep talking about, Tiki.
True.
I've seen guys throw four interceptions. I go, wow, three of them weren't his fault at all.
Yeah.
But we don't care. We read the numbers, and that's what we go by a lot. So.
Oh, the last one was his fault for sure, and that's the one that mattered.
You know what? That one, and you know why he laid on the ground? I can tell you exactly why. He thought he had it.
Yeah.
He called that play. It was going to be down the sideline. They had a little, you know, I guess you'd say diversion, and Sorensen didn't go for the fake. It was zone. He thought it was going to be man-to-man.
Yeah.
And it was zone, and he threw the interception. That's why he laid on the ground and went, oh, my God.
Yeah, what did I not see, or what did
I
see?
Well, yeah, all those years as a
almost
quarterback,
like a rookie,
you know, when
like
it's man
mistake.
Zone, usually before the ball snapped, and he got pulled, it looked like to me, and it cost him.
Okay, so we're talking to the great Phil Simms, NFL on CBS analyst, two-time Super Bowl champ. He's got a spot in the New York Giants Ring of Honor with my partner, Tiki, amongst others, LT, et cetera. Let me ask you about, now, maybe as a former quarterback and as an enthusiast of the mechanics of the position like you are. Okay. Maybe you don't see it the way I see it. I'm a talk radio host. I give opinions. So we're coming from a different place, admittedly.
Right.
I look at the imagery, Phil, between Matt Nagy and Trubisky the other night with Nagy's, I don't know if his hips are, I don't know what's wrong with his hip, but the fact that Nagy's short, like he's got his arm around him, I thought it looked pathetic, and I think it was coming from a good place, but it made Trubisky look weak, like he was consoling him, like, hey, listen, man, like he had to shield him and protect him. I thought that was a bad look for the locker room. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I just think that I blame everybody. You know, for this Trubisky saga we got going. Now, Kirk Cousins is staying above it just barely because he's throwing 8 touchdowns and no interceptions every game. But once he throws another interception, see, we told you.
Yeah.
And this is Trubisky. They started this narrative right away with Matt Nagy, and it won't go away. And I understand. Some of it is his fault. But they did go 12-4 last year. He was the best player on the field against the Philadelphia Eagles playing in that playoff game. He let them down. We got the lead. Our great defense will do it for us. Nick Foles, touchdown. We got the lead. No, hardly no time left. Great throws to get them down the field. And then, of course, we know what happens, the missed field goal. So that kind of changes the narrative about what we think about him. And then, of course, this year, I'm shocked at how they're playing. I didn't look at them and think that this was going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. I really didn't.
No, neither did we.
Yeah. And,
you know, the offensive line, losing Vic Fangio is a big deal. If I look at the Bears' defense and I look out there and see some of the times I watch this Denver defense, which is not as talented, and the way they play, yeah, there's a difference in coaching.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
No, there's definitely no doubt about that. Phil, you know, we started with Dak Prescott. Now, Dak is an interesting spot because he's actually playing really good football, and it's going through the pass game first as opposed to the run game, which we always thought would be the narrative with him.
Well, you know, let me interrupt you. If they're going to make you throw it, okay, that's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. And he's good at it. He's going to throw for 5,300 yards.
Hey, you should be in the Hall of Fame. What you did as a running back, okay? But there were games, as good as you were, and you had a good offensive line, you go, today we must throw to win.
That's right.
Okay.
And they're doing that to an extent that's making Dak, at least us, think differently about Dak. Why is this taking so long for them to work out a long-term extension for him? And I think it might be because once they do sign him to that extension, it compromises every other player that they have to sign. Is that what Jerry's thinking here? Because it feels like he deserves it at this point.
Well, yeah, I listen, I don't know. It's going to play itself out this year. He's going to get what he wants. That's apparent to me. This market, I don't know why. It's just the unwritten rule is I must be paid more than the highest paid guy.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going. And I don't know when's a team going to say go to a really good quarterback one day, go, man, we love you. Good luck. We'll
yeah.
see you.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen with Dak. And this, as we watch their offense, the line we know is good, but they've really gotten good at pass blocking because they've been throwing it more. And he's got true big-time weapons to throw it to. And make no doubt about it, this is a different offense he's running this year from the previous years. It's more quarterback-friendly, if you want to say it. He's taking advantage of it. He's making a lot of great throws. And, you know, he's, as they say, I used to laugh and I'd say it, but now it's the truth. Every game, it's just another couple million dollars added on top of what he's going to get.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's been impressive to watch him play.
Phil, I've always thought that you should run a team. I've always thought that. Really, I've always thought that. That you have that acumen where you could be a personnel guy. Obviously, you have the TV chops, and it's a different kind of...
You notice I'm not interrupting you.
Exactly. We never do it. When we speak highly of you, that's the only time Sims doesn't say a word. And your son's the same way, by the way. Which is not a bad way to be. My point is, I have great feel and great respect for your instincts at the quarterback position, as we all do. So I ask you this, Phil. You're running a team. You're the GM. You have access to every quarterback in the NFL. Who are you picking to start your franchise? Right now.
Oh, man, who am I picking to
right
start
now.
My franchise with?
Yep.
Well, I think a lot of people will say, I'm going to say Lamar Jackson.
That's
no,
what
it wouldn't
I was thinking.
Be him. But I even now, probably right now, it would be Mahomes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then even at his age, I would still look at Aaron Rodgers and go, man, there's five more years of great talent in that body for sure. And 5 years is two lifetimes in the NFL. So I think that question, it's...
What about Russell Wilson?
Well, Russell Wilson, you know, see, there's a lot of... Russell Wilson is phenomenal, but if I love what he does, but I would take the other two above him in this situation because they can run every offense. And not that Russell Wilson can't. He's more of a, he's going to do this, and he's going to make their offense rolls because of a lot of good throws by him, but also the fact that he scrambles as much as he does to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
The other two can make as many plays, but not having to do it on their own.
Gotcha.
So it's close. But Russell Wilson, his throwing, again, is... been off the charts, and of course I never thought he'd be this type of quarterback in the NFL. And I talked to somebody in Seattle, he'd been there 2 days. This is a true story, and you would know the guy if I told you his name, but he goes, Phil, Russell Wilson, he's going to be the quarterback. And I just go, he's been 2 days? He goes, overwhelming, it's going to happen, whatever. And of course he was right. You know, he was sitting there watching it. I think the Seattle Seahawks were doing a lot of sweating waiting for that third round to come around to take Russell Wilson. And it's really amazing. They built the team, they go to the Super Bowl, and they really disband it and just tear it completely apart. And there they were in the playoffs again last year. It's pretty – it says a lot about Pete Carroll, but also says a lot about Russell Wilson.
And they'd also given Matt Flynn about $30 million,
yeah.
And then Russell Wilson still took the job in two
well,
days.
Yeah, Matt
I
Flynn, so that didn't work out. So he went to the Raiders and got another $8 million. That didn't work out. He said,
right.
Okay, see you later.
I know. Almost as much as you've gotten doing TV all these years, huh, Phil?
I can't even answer that.
Phil Sims. I'll see you Sunday, man. Thanks a lot
okay,
for carving out time.
Okay, great to both of you.
Be
talk
good,
to
Phil.
You soon.
He's the best. Phil Sims. We're a little late, but that's what we do for Phil. NFL Today, he's on Tops every Sunday as well. Axe update, we'll come back. We'll get to the blast. Also, maybe circle back to the James Wiseman stuff.
Yep.
Give a couple of thoughts on that. Here's Ackerman coming at you, Rick. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Zach Matlock. Not John Matlock, the old pitcher. At Pitmaster, 103-181, or Matlock the show. What happens if Georgia beats LSU? 3 1-loss SEC teams. You know at least two going to get in. Total garbage. I guess Zach is not an SEC fan, Tiki. A little SEC bias, he's saying.
I think it opens a door. I think it opens a door for a Pac-12 team.
It's got
one,
to.
One of those teams to actually jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be
Oregon
that,
or Utah.
That would be disruptive if Georgia did. If Georgia loses, though, it almost kind of does the same thing with Alabama still sitting there if they close out well. But Oregon controls
true.
It. Oregon controls their destiny, I think.
I would think so as well. But it's not a given.
No.
We don't know exactly what they're thinking. I think you laid that out right,
yeah.
But we could be wrong.
You're right.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. How's that answer? We could be right, but we could be wrong. Boy, nobody better than us, huh? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We'll circle back to the Wiseman stuff. Memphis has volleyed back. We'll get to that after the blast. Let's go. Here it is.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, the Jets have won a couple of games in a row, and all of a sudden they're asking for drug tests from my boy Le'Veon Bell. Leave my guy alone, NFL. What is he doing wrong? Le'Veon Bell calls out the NFL. Random drug testing. Been tested 5 times in 10 weeks. I don't think you trust. I don't think they trust you, Le'Veon. Just
yeah.
A guess. That's a lot of tests right there. OBJ called him out as well. Is there a problem with how the NFL administers its drug tests?
Well, I mean, for OBJ, I have a little bit of a problem with this because he's never been in the substance abuse program.
But there was that one photo.
Yes.
We don't really know. Was it pizza crust? Was it
true?
A joint?
Le'Veon
was it coke
Bell
with the model in Paris? Who knows?
Has never failed a drug test, but he was in the program,
mm-hmm.
And was suspended.
2 games, right?
2 games, yep. But he never failed a test.
Mm-hmm.
He missed one, I think, or something like that. So, is there
Is the same as failing?
True.
In their eyes, just so people get
true. That. But is there problems with it? I mean, probably because it feels like it's not random.
Yeah, but he actually went against more like HGH testing. Like, I don't think that he views it as like a marijuana thing.
Yeah, it's not clear.
Or a street drug thing. It was more like a performance-enhancing thing. Hey, listen, if Le'Veon Bell's taking PEDs, take more, because you're averaging about 57 yards a game on the ground. I mean, I know the offensive line's not very good.
True. 3.2 yards a carry.
Take better ones. Take them all. Take whatever you have to take to win. I don't care. All right. The Celtics could reportedly try and trade for LaMarcus Aldridge. Could Aldridge put the Celtics over the top in the East? You know, it's funny. We talked about the Lakers before off to a 12-2 start. Really, their only discernible weakness, aside from the minute distribution, which could come back and burn them down the road 37 minutes last night, for both LeBron and AD. They don't shoot the rock well. They are 28th from behind the arc in terms of attempts, and they're 18th in terms of three-point percentage proficiency. So I say that because the 76ers don't shoot the deep ball well either.
Nope.
And that's the team that most people think will get out of the Eastern Conference. Not that Aldridge is a sniper, but if the Celtics got him to combat to some degree.
The size.
Embiid, who's better,
yeah,
for sure.
The size of the 76ers.
Would they be the favorite? I don't know if I'd say they're the favorite, but boy, that's a team that could beat the Sixers. I think they have a pretty decent chance.
Yeah, the East is odd. If you haven't been paying attention, because, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, you're not paying attention to the regular season. The Heat are 9-3. I know you are. The Heat are 9-3, right? And so the East is odd. The Raptors, who everybody thought was going to fall apart, they're sitting fourth at 9-4.
Nets have been bad.
Mets have been bad. Like, the expectation haven't been met, so it's open. It's an opportunity.
Miami's pretty good.
That's what I mean. Miami, they're 9-3.
Oh,
they're third in the East. So
yeah.
The problem, not the problem, but the opportunity, I think, for the Celtics is if they make themselves a tick better while the rest of the East is still kind of like figuring itself out,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely it could help them.
Yeah. He could shoot. He's a big man. Pick and roll. Yeah. LaMelo Ball. LaMelo doing a little dishing. It's going to work out for this kid.
Yeah.
Amazingly. LaMelo said he's already better than Lonzo. Little bro shade. Opens up about his pops. Is he more equipped to handle the success than Lonzo?
Yeah, I think he's more able to handle the media side of this. He seems more outgoing in a sense. Is his game going to be better? Probably, because the shot's not jacked up. Is he already better than his brother? I can't say that because his brother was pretty damn good at UCLA.
Yes, he was. He's actually great.
Right? So I'm going to say no, but I think to handle the pressure of being a star, I think he absolutely is.
Yeah. The fact that he's playing with grown men in Australia, and the Aussies are tough, as we know. Think about some of the players that right. come over, you know, from Australia. Bogut's one of them, obviously.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
Even though he played here.
Well, yeah. But he's tough for sure. But those Aussies don't mess around. And he's playing against grown men. He's not shooting the ball well, though. I mean, what is he, 35% overall? Not from three overall.
Yeah.
That's fine. And most people still think he's going top five. I got to see him play a little bit more, to be honest. I mean, I just throw something out into thin air. I've seen all the clips, but I need to see him play, like
full
play,
game.
play.
Right. It's hard to get a feel of the flow of a game.
It is, because we're not watching him in the ACC tournament or, you know, in the Big Ten, whatever it is. But I think you're right. I do think that he's been hardened. I think his exterior is, he will be more equipped to deal with any diversions, distractions, setbacks professionally, because he's dealt with a lot and he's persevered. So he seems to be a pretty tough kid.
And he's also seen how his brother handled it all and how his father kind of disrupted his brother's handling of it all.
True. What's the other one doing? Where is he playing? Where's LiAngelo playing?
He's
is he still going to get drafted first round by the Lakers?
Probably coaching somewhere.
I think he's playing somewhere. He's got to be playing, right? All right, so how about this? Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford said he's sick and tired of the death threats. I'd say social media. Some people are just so pathetic.
Yeah, he lost
disturbed.
The game. It is what it is.
I hear
Calm
you.
Down.
So he's getting death threats on social media after the Minnesota game. Should all teams do what Mike Leach did? You and I discussed this a couple of weeks back. And ban social media during the season.
I don't think they should ban it because it's just impossible to do that.
No, it's not. You just said you're not allowed on Twitter, and if you are, you're not playing.
Well, because you couldn't tell. How would you know?
You just follow the accounts.
I know, but he could not post but still follow and still get all the death threats. You know what I mean? So I think the reason that Mike Leach does this is because kids are emotionally affected by the nonsense that they read on Twitter. They read their mentions, which I never do. And you shouldn't, because people say hateful and hurtful things trying to gain some sort of sick power over you by opining negatively. By the way, just want to back up for Penn State fans. You can't tell me that any of you had an expectation that Sean Clifford might potentially lead you to the college football playoff when the season started. So shut the hell up and leave the kid alone.
That a boy, T.
Seriously.
I agree with you on this. You know, it's program specific. I'm not going to say that every team should do this.
No.
If coaches believe it's a detriment, either because there's psychos out there, which there will always be, sadly,
right.
Or players are getting gassed up too much reading the positive, which
That's
also
right.
can happen. I think it's the right of the coach to unplug it. And the only thing that I said this with Leach as well, because if you're going to college next year, you don't know a world without social media. I think it's unfair to implement it midseason. If it's a staple, if it's a rule of the program, before you commit there, I think that young man needs to know.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I would differ on. Otherwise, I'm with you. All right, so we haven't seen two ranked teams match up in college hoops since last Thursday, the 14th. And it's not going to happen again until Wednesday, November 27th here. While we commend big-time early season games, is this type of lull an issue for college hoops? I don't think necessarily.
No.
I don't really, you know, you can pick and choose. You know, listen, from my point of view, I call St. John, so I like to call wins more than losses.
Yeah.
So I don't mind playing, you know, getting some of these easy ones early on. But listen, I get it. I mean, it's more fun when you see the top 25 teams play.
Yeah,
but you can pick and choose and parachute in and get some competitive basketball.
Honestly, I agree with you, BT. I don't think it, and it doesn't matter at this point in the season. These teams are still trying to figure out who they are and what they look like. You know, relative to last year, when they get into conference play, that's when it gets really compelling and interesting.
Well, some of them started conference play, like you guys.
Well, yeah, true. At the beginning of the season, I mean, that was ridiculous, but whatever. We won, so I didn't mind too much.
Taking us back to the peach biscuit, peach basket days there. 36 points.
Right, that'll work itself out once we get to the conference, and then the conference championship comes pretty quickly after that.
Then it's the best.
So I think the lull at the beginning is okay because it's kind of like, we got to figure ourselves out before we start beating each other up.
Plus, we got the Maui coming up. There's things that are coming. We're fine.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
And if things seem pretty boring, just follow John Rothstein. He'll gas up the eighth man,
That's right.
For the most obscure school in the country, and he'll get you jacked up and ready.
Yep, real quickly.
I saw John on Saturday.
Maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow else develops. But James Wiseman with Memphis, suspended, as BT said, for 12 games, comes back January 12th. Memphis is going to appeal the 12-game suspension.
Boy, they're really digging in, huh?
The other side of the punishment for James Wiseman is that he has to pay back the $11,500 that Penny allegedly gave him to a charity of his choice.
That was interesting.
So the question is, does he get $11,500?
With the first pick in the...
Or maybe he borrows it from Penny.
Yo, coach, hit me up again. I need 11-5 again. We'll see you tomorrow.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.